There we go.
Okay. So I'll get the meeting started and call to order. So this is the meeting of the Audit Committee. It's July 30th, 10 in the morning. Oh, just a little bit after 10. And just briefly around the table, we have Interim City Manager Ted Smith. We have the Audit Committee members, Ole Olson, our citizen member, and then council members who are on the Audit Committee, Laura Swanson, and myself, David Allen. We also have Linda Brown here, the Assistant Finance Director. And on the phone, we have Bob Gazewood, who will soon to be our Interim Finance Director. And we also have the alternate to the Audit Committee for the Council, Mark Salins. So with that said, Ted, you want to just maybe briefly introduce Bob, and maybe Bob can say a few words before we get into the agenda items?
Yeah, Bob and I met just for the first time just a couple of weeks ago. I think we have a good starting relationship. Bob is a retired former city finance officer. Bob, am I right, Troutdale?
Right. I was 1 month short of 14 years at Troutdale when I retired.
Okay, well, and I'll let you give a brief bio for yourself, but Bob will be coming here starting on Monday, August 5th, and he'll be working with our staff on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in Newport, and remotely if needed or when needed, or maybe always from home on the other days. So go ahead, Bob.
Okay, well, good morning and hello to everyone. I began my career after finishing college with a major in accounting in 1965 with the State Comptroller's Office in California. Then I moved up in 1966 to Olympia, Washington, and worked with the Central Budget Agency for the state of Washington. That was the, I think the title now is the Office of Financial Management, but they're the responsible for the accounting and the budgetary aspects of the state of Washington. I've spent time, approximately 11 years in state government in Olympia. I moved on then in around 1978 to the city of Moses Lake, Washington, as their finance director. Around November 1980, I went to work as a finance director and tax collector for Clatsop County, Oregon. And that county I currently still live in. Then 1985, actually January of 1986 is when I started with the city of Troutdale and worked there as the finance director through November 1999, at which time I retired. Then Troutdale brought me back for a period of time for consulting related work, special projects. I spent two assignments at the city of Wood Village, Oregon in an interim finance director capacity. 2003, I went back to the city of Troutdale as an interim finance director for about 4 months. I spent probably four or five months with the city of Fairview, Oregon, as their interim finance director. Then 2007, I did the assignment as interim finance director for the city of Newport, and then we're pretty much up to date to where we are right now.
So I'd just like to add a few words. This is David Allen. I was on the budget committee when Bob was interim finance director, and so I've, you know, met Bob, and we've had occasion to talk quite a bit on budget issues. So I'm glad that you accepted the assignment, Bob, as interim finance director. I think when you were here in 2007, most folks, you know, especially those on the council, you know, really were appreciative of the work you did. So We're looking forward to having you for the period of time in which you'll be here for the upcoming year.
I was looking forward to this assignment again, and we hope that we can potentially make a good job of what we had before.
Great. So I'll just move on to the agenda items. We have the meeting summary from our April 18th meeting. David Marshall circulated that to everyone back on May 5th. I don't know if anyone had a chance to see it, but I did take a quick look through it this morning, and I just noted a couple changes, Linda. At the very top, it mentions that the Brett Rode, the lead auditor of the city, was present. We also had with us, it was Brianna Emmel, who was an associate with Polly Rogers. Just want to note that she was at the meeting as well.
Okay.
And then right below that, where it starts with summary, the first item says review SAS 14 letter. That should be 114.
Okay.
And that's the title of the auditor letter. And that was for year ended July 30th, 2012. So we're not getting our years mixed up. That was that year that we went through that letter. So, and that's it. Was anyone else? Okay. So I guess let's just formally approve the anyone make a motion to approve the minutes as noted with the changes this morning?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. I don't hear any discussion. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. Passes unanimously. So the checklist. Linda, you know, you had a chance to put together some information for us, and you forwarded that to the audit committee members. I'm looking here. It looks like just about July 16th you sent it to us. So you want to go through the materials, and then we can just start the discussion. And Ted and Bob, you've got the information, Bob, correct? Did Ted forward that stuff to you yesterday?
Yes, I have the minutes that you were just referring to, and I have a recent transmission that Linda Brown sent this morning.
Okay. So at this point, I'll just leave it up to Linda and you, Bob, and Ted to perhaps give us some guidance, and then we can have that discussion regarding some benchmarks and some other criteria that we want to perhaps put in place as an audit committee, which was a topic of discussion in April with the auditors, and they believe, and their recommendation was that the audit committee should have a more active involvement in the auditing process other than checking in twice a year. And they gave us some suggestions to do that as part of our oversight and due diligence. So I'll leave it up to Linda and you and Ted to take us through that.
And I apologize, I didn't bring the first portion that they had sent, where they had talked about the audit committee and maybe setting up some goals and different ideas. I had brought the questionnaires that they suggested, but I didn't bring the audit committee suggestions on how to set up.
Was that reflected in the minutes or not? Perhaps not. Okay.
Perhaps.
Well, that's fine.
No,
okay.
Not. I know that looking back at the minutes, it talked about the auditors giving a list of questions.
Yeah, we have that.
Which yes. They did.
Yeah.
And I took some time this morning and wrote down some answers, but would like to kind of talk about those. You know, as we're going through. The first question that was on the group was, are the books balanced and reconciled? We're still in the process of reconciling fiscal year 13. Something you need to know that things don't stop on June 30. There are still invoices that come in. There are still payments that come in for fiscal year 13. So we're still in the process. Our biggest challenge right now is still the miscellaneous receivables. What happened is we started working on miscellaneous receivables back in October, November to be put on Cassell. Well, the person that was supposed to do it dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. And so in saying that, and I take partial responsibility because I was supervising her. I should have been more aware of what she was doing. Anyway, it's taken several months to go through that. We have a new employee that's going through. John has done receivables for years, and he's going through customer by customer, making sure everything is correct. So this is still taking a little bit of time, but it will be done all along before the audit. They ask, are all the cash accounts reconciled to the GL? Again, we're in the process of doing that. The two accounts that probably are the ones that we're working on right now, the rest of them are all imbalanced, just the general account and the bail account. We also have interest distribution that needs to be done. It asks if has the adopted budget reflect the expected expenditures? The answer to that is yes. Has all the payroll reports been filed and have the payroll liabilities been paid on a timely basis? I put yes/no. November's federal taxes were not paid on a timely basis. A past employee had given me the information, had told me that it was paid, but when you go in and you make the payment with the federal government, you have to click a little button that says pay now, and she had not clicked that button. So when we were doing
for that.
Yes, we were fined for that. No IRS.
What's the typical fine on those type of things?
That fine was about $12,000.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And that was.
It was found in January when I was doing the quarterly reports.
So that would have been reflected, or that would have been dealt with in last fiscal year's
yes,
budget.
Yes. Yes.
And within the expenditures and. budget parameters in the finance department.
Yes.
That's where it would have come out of?
Yes. We felt like it was the error of finance we were going to give it.
Is there a process that you can put in place that can double check that?
And yes, now I have John, who's doing our payroll now, and even before that I had her printing out the portion of your report that prints out that says exactly
that
what you paid
was accepted.
It was accepted and
okay,
stuff.
So that you double check as you get a receipt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. The next question is all federal and state reimbursements request, and again, it's just talking about the November taxes.
Linda, just real quick, did that $12,000 penalty/fine from IRS, when it came out of the finance department budget, did that impact any other budget line or any other budget expenditures that you were anticipating that year, or was there enough funds available in the finance department budget to deal with it without impacting other services?
It was part of the administrative appropriations, and we ended at the end of the year making an adjustment for that.
Okay.
But it wasn't just this $12,000. There was, I think we transferred about $60,000 to cover.
In the supplemental or?
No, the transfer resolution.
In the transfer resolution.
Right at the end of the year.
Right, and that was a general lump sum. It didn't denote what each. So I would have probably caught that penalty if it was listed somewhere. It was just a general $60,000 reference in the resolution transfer, but it didn't really specify what that $60,000 was comprised of.
That's correct.
So you're just providing more detail right now.
Yes. Are there any cases of fraud that aware of? No, I'm not aware of any fraud. Has there been any significant changes to the internal control system? Yes, this last year, the police department has their own P.O. box. They're now receiving invoices, statements, even checks are being sent to them on that P.O. box.
Why?
This was something that was okayed by the previous city manager.
But what was the police department's reasoning for this?
Police department's reasoning?
I have no idea either.
Yeah.
I just when I saw this morning, that my first question was, we're either all one city or we're not.
Correct.
And I, you know, I think that's something that needs to be talked about and dealt with.
Yeah, I do too. I'm with you about too much one
chance
city.
On objectives that's around.
Well, the finance department has responsibility ultimately for all of this, and for the police department to be reconciling their bills and things doesn't make sense.
It seems like that's a workload for somebody over in the police department under that type of scenario that really ought to be transferred
back to.
Back, well, yeah, and it may be along with some of the work time.
I think there's some philosophical discussions that need to go along, and I am putting this on the to-do list, not just for me, but also for the new city manager, because I think the police department would really like to, as much as possible, they're in Newport, but they kind of like to run in their own rarefied air, if you will, and you know, I don't want to tell tales out of school. I haven't had any discussions with Mark on this, but it just seems like there's a lot of times or things where the police department is pretty much, you know, their own entity.
So they're not being a team player, basically.
In some cases.
Yeah.
I have another small example of that, and it's not nearly as big of a deal, but I imagine it irritates people. When you go and rent space at the Visual Arts Center, and you submit a check for that, and apparently it was okay that because that happens so infrequently, they'll go months without submitting those.
So the Visual Arts Center does?
Yeah,
or?
Okay. Yeah, and then they submit them together as a package. I understand the reasoning why you'd want to do that. But for the customer, they're sitting there
waiting for a check to clear the
bank. Waiting for a $500 check or a $75 check to clear month after month after month. You know, that's...
Just so you know, Tim, it hasn't been okay with the city.
Okay.
They're supposed to be sending in their checks on a weekly basis.
And that's why I brought
it
up. As long as we're talking flow of information, that's another one that
I
didn't experience.
Do they need to be reminded then that that's...
Well, I didn't experience as a city councilor. I was just doing business.
No, what I'm saying is, does the... you'll
do
that out.
Okay. I will let them know that.
I can't imagine running finance with 17 different ways of doing it. Everybody needs to be on board, in my opinion.
Linda, question 7 regarding the separate post office box with the police department. How long is that, is that... In your memory, is that the way it's always been done, or has that just been a recent change?
Or very recent.
And that was, again, maybe I missed it. When was that change made?
It happened, like January?
Yeah. Of this year?
Of this year, yeah.
I remember
December,
reading about
January.
It, wondering. Yeah.
So, I guess, it might have been one of the finance department monthly reports. Perhaps I just can't recall, but what was the, to the best that you can, what was the discussion and the reasoning between perhaps the former city manager, David, at the finance department when he was here, and the police chief to reach that change?
I will tell you very honestly, David was not part of that
so
discussion.
So that was between
Mark and Jim Folberg.
But David ultimately found out about it because he obviously had to then deal with it. So that was he found out after the fact.
Yes.
He probably would have blocked it if he had known about it.
I'll leave it at that.
He was concerned.
Okay, he did express concern.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Thanks.
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
It says, is the business office adequately staffed? Yes, I feel like we're adequately staffed, even though we have 4 employees who's been with us less than 4 months. They're learning their jobs. I think, honestly, we have a great staff, probably the best staff we've had since I've been here. Great ability that we have. Has there been any changes to the accounting system or accounting policies that has been significant? The biggest change has been going through the Cassell software. This should make our life a lot easier in the future. We still don't have court up on this system yet, but other than court, we have a couple of little other minor modules. But court is our next big issue. We've been waiting for court for the reason that Cassell is changing their court package, and rather than putting it up on the old package and then in 3 or 4 months have to change the new package. They ask us if we were willing to wait.
And it's already been a mess for 15 years. Why not 3 more months?
So if people don't mind, I have even though I'm the alternate, I have a question on that. And the question is, when these changes come along, or even when we implemented the software initially, do you feel like adequate training for using Cassell has been available to staff, or
yes.
is that an issue, or is it just a matter of getting in there and practicing with it?
Well, probably a combination of both. They have come out. They came out and spent a week here. I also, myself and one other staff member went back to Utah and spent a week our first go around when we started payroll and the general ledger accounts payable. We went back there for a week, which was really nice because you're not around customers.
Right.
No
right.
offense to customers, but when we started the utility billing, they came here and spent a week. The one nice thing, we have purchased the package, and part of the package is unlimited support.
Oh, good.
So,
okay.
I mean, if you look at it, and you can talk to Kay, Kay will tell you that there's days that she's on the phone a couple of times during the day because something new has come up. So,
yeah, that's,
yes,
really,
they have been.
Really good to know, because as a past technical services supervisor, I often observe situations where new software would come along and inadequate training or resources yep. would be made available to staff, and it's like you got the greatest tool in the world but nobody knows how to use it. So I'm really happy to hear that.
The other nice thing about Cassell is they've been very good working with us, as we've got new people, training them on the phone, spending
Excellent.
Days on the phone with them. Even our own people, a couple of months after we were up on utility billing, I set up a training where they could just spend about a 3 or 4 hour block with them to ask questions that came up that, you know, when you're learning the software, you don't know the questions to ask
right.
until after.
Right. So well, I'm really happy to hear that. Thank you.
And when do you anticipate that you'll be fully implemented with Cassell?
Because our present court clerk is pregnant, and we don't want to start the process until after she comes back, and she's going to be leaving us probably the end of August and be gone for probably 6 weeks. It'll be probably about 2 or 3 months, and we'll by that time they should be totally ready to get us on board with court. And so I'm hoping by the end of the year we'll be totally implemented.
And then all the other Cassell operations are pretty much in place right now.
Yes.
So that was the only module that's left out.
The other module is fixed assets, which is very easy. When we're going through the audit portion of that is fixed assets, we'll just implement it at that time.
Now, is Cassell going to be doing the purchase order?
Purchase orders. Yeah, purchase orders is the other thing that we need to implement. Thank
okay.
you. I didn't even think about purchase orders. And as soon as our auditors are out of here at the end of September, I really would like to start working on purchase orders. I'm just wanting to finish.
That was my question, was purchase orders, and I just really think that's very important we get that up and running. I mean, you get it up and running. I'm just going to sit here and cheer, but, you know, I think it's important.
The next question, are there any financial-related matters that you should be aware of? And I suggest problems with budget being entered into Cassell in fiscal year 13. In fiscal year 13, when David did the budget, he did the budget in Excel, and it was presented in an Excel format. He then took those numbers and put them into Cassell. As I was going through and I ran into problems that not all the appropriations was matching what the resolution said, so I've made adjustments and corrections. Also, some of the funds were funds that he had entered into was in the wrong cost center, so those have all been corrected. Transfers and services provided for was not balanced in fiscal year 13, which basically means if I'm the general fund and I'm giving $100 to the Parks and Rec, it should say that a transfer out of the general fund to Parks is $100. The Parks should say they're receiving $100 from the general fund. They were not balanced. What we need to do, and we have done, is we're transferring, but no more than what the amount of the appropriation.
Linda, is that going to, you think the auditors are going to find anything related to that? Because this is the, you know, fiscal year 13 is over with, and this was a budgetary issue, but from an auditing perspective, is this going to perhaps raise some issues, or do you think it was something that needs to be taken care of at the budget level, but nothing happened as far as what we actually spent and what we received?
As long as we don't go over the appropriated amount, they'll be fine. If we try to transfer more than what we had appropriated, then they would.
So this issue really is more about how we put the budget document together and how readable it is and everything. So it's a budget issue, even though it's part of the overall.
I think what I understand from it was that David was inputting every one of these figures and not quite checking back to make sure that X matched Y and those kind of things.
Yeah,
transfers.
I agree, and some of those things were corrected and addressed during the budget process. Yep. I know David amended a few things during the budget process. So, and I think it was partially a software issue, and
it had to be murder to make that transfer.
Linda, will that issue of XL to Cassell be in place for 14?
Actually, in 14, we did do the budget in Cassell.
Okay.
He did do worksheets in Excel, but we moved everything over to Cassell. Cassell's all balanced right at the moment. I am not sure about the transfers, I'll be honest with you. I haven't gone through the transfers yet. I will do that, and if there's any adjustments that need to be made, I'll get a resolution to you before the end of the year for sure on correcting those. You ask if there was any possibility of problems. There is one possibility of problems that came up, and I need to look into that further. That is because one of the appropriations in the general fund, David did not correctly put into the system, was the contingency. And when the end of the year adjusting the appropriations, that may be one that we may have over expended, but I will double check.
The contingency appropriation.
Yes.
So when we're doing the resolution transfers and perhaps other adjustments at the end of the fiscal year, that might have
Yes.
Which
means we have a choice. We can either not make that transfer, that one transfer, so at least the contingency
stays under the authorization.
Yes. Are there any pronouncements on the horizons that will require additional staff or funds? None that I'm aware of. Are all financial statements that has been provided for the board accurate and complete? And I put no, C is above, because mm-hmm. of the problems with the appropriations that I found.
So C above would refer to number 10?
Yes.
Okay, so I just want to make sure C above could be all the preceding ones we're talking about.
I'm
number
sorry,
10.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Without the manager being present, it asked if I'm aware of anything that the managers have asked me that I felt uncomfortable for, and I said no. Other than the fact that I knew that there was problems with the budget, I knew there was problems with the transfers, I asked David several times if he wanted me to work on this, and he said no, he would. Saying that it was David's best intent, it wasn't like he was trying to not allow somebody to do it. It was his best attempt to try and get things done, and I think life just got away from him.
Yeah, yeah. He was overwhelmed for a while.
When it references, and I know you took this directly out of the the auditors prepared these questions. So when we're speaking about manager, we're talking about the finance director. Or are we talking about, you know, it says assistant finance manager, so that would, I guess we're talking about the finance director, not the manager, because the manager I would look at as the city manager. So
right.
I just want to make sure we're clear on that.
And I put manager simply because, you know, you could look at it both ways, the manager, finance manager, or this city manager. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them has asked me to do anything that I felt uncomfortable with.
No, that's a hard question, but it's important.
Yes, yes, it is. And I've been in situations, luckily not with the city, but in the private sector where your boss asks you to do something that you know is not totally kosher.
Yeah, my girlfriend worked for a firm like that, and she quit.
I did too.
Do you end up with these questions, and these would be the process we'd go through on a quarterly basis?
Well, that was my next question, because the auditors, in the email that they sent to Linda, who then forwarded this to us, the auditors said this is a list that they're providing us, but they said we can come up with our mm-hmm. own specific questions related to what's going on in Newport. So my thought would be the list that Linda just went through would be a starting point, but is there anything else? And when I say this, I'm asking you, Ted, and Bob, and Linda, and the committee members, is there any other questions that we can think of to add this to this list, just to make it more complete? So I'm just throwing that open to see if anyone's got any ideas on that.
For this?
Well, for the future as well. I mean, this is the list that we have in front of us that Linda addressed, but, you know, as a future process, to make this list more comprehensive mm-hmm. and perhaps more specific to Newport, do we want to adjust any of these questions, or do we want to use these questions and add any more that come to mind that these questions don't address?
Well, anything she has a no on, I'd like to revisit the next round. But I also wonder if it would be all right to have something specific like the purchase orders. So
sure.
Put in.
One thing, you know, and this may just be out of this list, you'd end up with a punch list then of things that need to be followed up on. And I'm wondering if that then ought to be part of this list, or can that, in other words, you've got some that are saying there's no problem, but we've got a no here and these items need to be addressed. Or is this enough by itself that it is the punch list?
Well, I think what Laura said was really important. So if a no is on this list at this meeting, then that would be something that would be addressed at the next meeting as a maybe a more specific item.
So it would work out.
Same thing.
Yeah,
I'm thinking exactly that same thing, whatever we have here.
Well, and number 7 needs to be addressed also. I mean, Ted, is that up to you, or is that to our new financial manager?
You know, I think that Bob and I can talk about that when he gets here, and then Bob and Mark and I can talk about it. Without talking to Mark, I have no idea what his reasoning behind that was, and why the decision was made in a vacuum. You know, just from my viewpoint, I can't figure out any reason why any department would be, doing their own invoicing and I mean, they send them over to you guys to be paid, right, Linda?
Yes.
But they want to get them everything there first, and that includes any checks with.
I know this is an extremely rude comment, but my fraud wires go up with this kind of situation if they're wanting to get everything first.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. I have no idea. Like I said, they kind of like to run their own little thing over there, and I don't know. I'll be talking with Mark. I don't think he's back in town yet from being out of town, but I'll talk with him. Okay. And I think, Bob, would you agree that you and I and he should talk about this? This thing?
Yes, Ted, absolutely. This should be high on the agenda to check out. The other thing is that this list of questions I think is appropriate on an ongoing basis, because certainly it should be where the actual finance director is doing his regular monthly monitoring of the financial department. And so I think this list right here, in terms of its totality, are important to be an ongoing review process. So I would say that in the future, I'd use this list and add to it with other things that people are interested in finding out from the audit committee standpoint. And I think that given time here up to the next meeting, we could all participate by submitting our questions that we might have.
Another thought, Bob, is we at our council meetings, as you know, when you were, you know, here as interim finance director previously, we each committee provides a quick update as to what occurred. You know, usually it's as a council liaison, but since we're a subgroup of the council, you know, we'll report back. And I think what we can do is forward this list, and once we get the meeting summary, to the council members and ask the council members if they've got any. The council members who are not on the audit committee, ask them if there's anything that they would like to add to this list, because really we're doing this on behalf of the council, so I'd like to get more input with everyone on the council and especially staff as well. But this sounds like a good start from what I'm hearing from you and the audit committee members. I would only say number 10, it's more of a budget issue, but I know, Bob, you're not going to be here very long. I think it was maybe 4 to 5 months or when the new finance director is selected. But I really, during the last budget process, the budget document itself, there were some issues because of some of the software and things getting inputted, and there was a lot of information that wasn't in the budget document that budget committee members really felt they needed to make informed decisions. So number 10 kind of highlights that. I would just say that to the whatever ability you have to do so, it'd be really nice to work with Linda and perhaps see how we can make sure that when the budget process rolls around for next year and the new proposed budget comes out perhaps in next April, there will be a system set up to where the budget document will be complete and we won't have to be searching for answers during the budget committee process like we did last time. So that's just something I would just want to note, and number 10 kind of brought that up.
It seems to me that now I'm not, you know, my recollection is 6 years old, so it may be not totally correct, but it seems to me that we had a schedules that actually pinpointed the transfers in and out, so the transfers on the revenue side as well as the, which are referred to as the ins and the out transfers over on the expenditure side, that the columns actually showed a expenditure match on the income versus the expenditure side, and the provisions for services provided were shown separately. Now, it just seems to me that we had a schedule like that would have reported that, so we would have known whether the budget was actually in balance or not. So it's important to identify categories of sources of revenue and expenses that are in and out that are going to match. So I can see that we could develop that reasonably soon. Linda, there, I'm sure. So we could probably get that pretty quick here. I know this is a split between the two fiscal years, so this is an enormous workload period on staff, and so we'll be looking wherever we can to make that go smoothly.
It was just this year's budget document because we were transferring to a new software. For instance, some of the appropriation categories and some of the funds, like for instance materials and services, the initial proposed budget just had a lump sum amount. It didn't break down what those were comprised of, like you would find in a detailed worksheet. So to his credit, David, at the next budget committee meeting, prepared a more complete, detailed analysis, which we appreciated, but that's something that I think we were expecting in the initial proposed budget document, which had been done in past years, like when you were finance director and, you know, in subsequent years, that was done. But what I'm saying is the software conversion apparently made it more difficult to get that done in time, so we ended up with kind of piecemeal documents over the course of the budget process, which made it somewhat frustrating, but we finally got what we needed. But I think the proposed budget document is where we were anticipating it to be in one complete package.
David,
If I just might add about the budget process, if I may, in my discussion with Ted Smith, he talked about the budget process and the desire to move that up earlier. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I can do when I'm down there is that I could give some thought to developing a budget calendar and get the budget call out to the department heads earlier, have an established date with meetings with the manager to determine when the internal city manager department head budget hearings will take place, so that we could probably start that budget process with the budget committee no later than around the 1st of April, maybe even earlier, depending on how everyone in Newport would like to get that process rolling.
So Bob, real quick, what happened was, for whatever reason, we didn't get the budget meeting process going till the first week in May. Yeah. And I know in past years, we had tried to get it started in either the second week of April or early part of the third week of April. For some reason this year, it just got about a 2 to 3 week late start, which then made it more crunch time near the end. And I think the goal for the budget committee and what we conveyed to staff was, if at all possible, if the proposed budget could be prepared and distributed and we have our first formal budget committee meeting in early to mid-April at the latest, that would give us enough time to make changes, which we were really pressed for time to do this past year.
Well,
sure.
One of the focus areas, Bob, that I wanted to add, it was an observation as a city councilor and a budget committee being new, the newest. I came on in January. I was amazed, and I'm assuming this was partly due to the conversion, but I was amazed to not have access to actual expenditures to compare against, you know, the previous year's budget. And that,
well,
that
know,
really hamstrung
my
the entire...
My law has asked for that information, and, the finance has to provide it.
Yeah. So, and that was a question I had for Linda. Apparently, part of the problem was, is during this transition that you were transferring everything over, David often made the remark that the actuals weren't available.
David Marshall.
Yeah, David Marshall. And you know, so we were having this.
I made sure it wasn't me.
So we were having this constant problem
as
committee members trying to review the budget when somebody would say, well, I need $10,000, and somebody else would say, well, I don't think you do. And then the line would come up, well, you don't understand, the actuals were like at 15,000. Well, there was no information there to have that dialogue. So,
and just so you know, that the budget document usually consists of the budget for the year that you're doing, so
right.
Like 14, the current budget, which is 13, and then the two previous years,
right.
The actuals. We do have the actuals though as
okay.
We go along.
Because
I mean, we're in the springtime of the year, in particular, we're posting every week because
right.
We want everything posted so we can do transfers if we need to.
Well, that was one.
Sure.
That's good to know, because one of the things I wanted to highlight is that wasn't just one person saying that there was a constant sort of stream of frustration with the inability to know what we were looking at. And you know, where I come from, we even were asked to do department-wide projections for what we expected by the end of the year.
And that is...
You know, mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like without that information in hand, even if it might be slightly off, you have no idea, really.
And there were a lot of holes.
Exactly. Might add, if I could jump in here. Linda, you recall when I was down 2007, for the last 2 months of the fiscal year, at least, if not three, we were doing projections to see where we were in terms of that ending fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So we would make sure that we had the ability to make appropriate adjustments in our appropriations if needed be.
And
you recall us doing that.
Yes, and that's what I was telling Tim. We post Mark. On a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Mark,
that's
sorry.
Right.
Where did I get Tim? Mark, on a weekly basis.
I like Tim.
I was like, where's Tim Grossman?
So we can check those things and try and make adjustments as we need to.
Well, some of the figures, I think particularly the first document we got, some of the actuals were not there.
No.
Yeah.
And
there were blanks.
Oh, yeah, none of them. We never saw actuals.
On Crissell, can you have your actual expenditures up to the time of that, let's say, April, mid-April, and then another section that's just the projections?
Well, my experience would work, and Bob, maybe you can jump in. The budget document by law has to have certain things. So what you have is you've got the proposed numbers for the upcoming fiscal year.
Right.
You've got the audited numbers for the year before the year you're in. The issue is when you're meeting in April, you have about 9 months of that current fiscal year. So rather than making that part of the document, what I think is helpful is you can either have before the formal budget process for the next year's fiscal year, you can have a pre-budget meeting that just talks about what we have in the current fiscal year and not make it about next fiscal year, but at least you can inform all the budget committee members, this is where we're at after 9 months of the current fiscal year. Keep this information in front of you when we have our formal budget process for next fiscal year. That way it's not part of the proposed budget document, but it is a companion document that people could refer to perhaps get an idea of what we're proposing for next fiscal year and where we're at in month 9 or 10 of the current fiscal year. So that would make it easier for folks because that way they don't have to worry about making it part of the proposed budget document because that really runs into a lot of issues, but they can make it a separate document and that could be amended because it's really about the current fiscal year and it could change as we move forward in the budget process.
Well, a separate meeting on it so we can talk it out. Wouldn't give us a basis to go into the next.
So it would be primarily just informational.
It'd be an informational meeting. It could be a pre-budget meeting in which we're just getting information on the current fiscal year to at least give us more information as we're moving into the formal process for the next fiscal year.
But we still want to end up, because you've got April, May, and June, 3 months there, of. Are you on track?
Well, that's what you'll find out in month 9 if you're on track. I mean, again, it's just kind of a snapshot of where you're at.
You should uncover about three different things if you do what David suggested without the projection. One is going to be you ended up with a budget item that was X amount of dollars, and by the ninth month, you've spent almost none of it. So then the question becomes, really, do you need that in the budget for the following year?
But everybody needs to ask that question simply because, a lot of us, I got contracts that aren't paid until May.
Right. Yeah.
And I got contracts that are paid in July. So it looks like in July I've spent my whole appropriation.
That was the second one I was going to bring up. It's easy for everybody to say, okay, it should be this much money per month, so this is wrong. But the second thing it reveals is a chance for the department heads to say, oh yeah, we've paid everything we have to pay for the rest of the year because our contracts are all paid, or this is typically a budget amount that never gets paid the last 2 months.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the third thing is whether you're in any danger of exceeding.
Yeah. Bob, what's your sense as far as a process to inform the budget committee as to the snapshot of what the current fiscal year looks like so when the proposed budget comes out for next fiscal year, there's kind of a comparison that could be utilized?
Okay, let me address that contract issue. The very simplest way to resolve that is that you establish a purchase order consistent with the beginning of the contract, and you encumber in terms of the money for the contract on a purchase order, and then that gets recorded into the system, and so then you know that there's an obligation that has to be met somewhere down the line. So you don't come through on a end of the year figuring that you've got money left over that you really don't, and waiting for that expense to come through. So you set the appropriation aside by obligating it through a purchase order.
That's the way all that works.
Right? Okay, that's a great idea.
That can be addressed that way. Okay, I'm trying to collect my thoughts on the question that was posed.
On the other issue is one thing that I think the Budget Committee was trying to get some more answers during the process was we were looking at the proposed budget numbers, and we had the audited numbers from the prior fiscal year than the one we're currently in, but people want to know, you know, where are we at in this current fiscal year on these particular appropriations so we can get a gauge of whether we're making the appropriate adjustments for the next fiscal year in the proposed budget.
All right, the issue here is we do have monthly financials. Those monthly financials can be made available to the Budget Committee with that data in, and you know, it could be split out on the basis of department identity, so there's less confusion when comparisons are being made going through the budget process. And as long as we're maintaining our records on a monthly update and getting all the expenditure and revenue in that we're receiving as we go, then you would have the up-to-date information that you could make judgments on from that and year-to-date expenditures and revenues received.
Okay.
Yeah. I see giving that report. Now, it may be in too much detail than what you might want, and then it's just a matter of telling finance what you want and for them to provide it in that format.
I guess from my viewpoint, there isn't any such thing as too much detail when it comes to finance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and some Budget Committee members like more detail than others, so the folks that like to just kind of generally skim through stuff can do that, and those that like to pour through it can pour through it. Yeah.
And
exactly.
One
so
thing.
It can be made available. It's just a matter of knowing what you want and getting it to you.
Okay.
I was going to say one thing to think about, too, is the way that we appropriate. We appropriate at cost center level. In other words, library has their budget, and what Ted does is to the bottom line. He may go through the year, and he may overexpend his office supplies, but he may underexpend something else. As long as his appropriation isn't overspent, he's fine. So, you know, when you're looking at numbers, you kind of have to remember that, too.
Yeah, it's not like we're trying to, it's not as if we're trying to micromanage the expenditures that each department has the authority to make. I think what we're trying to do is just get a sense of how are the expenditures playing themselves out over the current fiscal year. So when we're trying to make judgment calls for appropriations for next fiscal year, we're doing it reasonably, rather than basically, you know, we're doing it reasonably with more information, which is ultimately what the Budget Committee has to do as the policy body in making those judgment calls.
I think something else that we need to do in a department level is, if I've got a significant increase from one year to the next in a specific line, that I highlight that in my narrative that says this is a 25% increase because, like for instance, this year I do have a significant increase in my electrical. And there's a very good reason for it. Number one, I went way over what I budgeted last year, and the reason I went over is a combination of things that I had no control over, but those are the kind of things I think would be offer explanation rather than saying the library increased this line by 37%. There's no reason for it. I can't see any reason for it. And to have that in the narrative would be a whole lot easier than having 12 or 14 different people asking the same question.
And I think the narratives were something that we found very beneficial, and probably some could have been maybe more complete than others. And again, this relates to question number 10 in the list that was provided by the auditors. That's why I'm bringing it up, because Bob's on the phone as well.
The other thing I wanted to say is, Linda, you're right in terms of operationally, you're fine when you change within those specific items. And I agree with what David said. It's not like we're trying to micromanage, but unfortunately, whenever any entity enters into a period where you're on the downside of having plenty of money, that's when the oversight intensifies, and that's when it becomes important for particularly community budget people, maybe not so much the council, but members of our budget committee from the community, to be able to see more detail so they could feel comfortable that those rational decisions are being made, you know, when funds aren't so easily available. And it's just a process, and I want to underscore too the verbal descriptions, because there was little of that in the first round. We asked for it in the second round. We were given some beautiful examples, a couple of them, and then for some reason that whole process stopped and there was no additional detail added from any of the departments. Yeah. And again, I highlight that because 90% of the questions and the time we wasted could have been solved by a little bit of effort of descriptions like the one you were talking about, Ted.
Yeah. It would make life much, much easier.
Yeah.
So, Bob, this is probably, I know it's not directly related to the auditors and the auditing process, but this is really, I'm glad you're on the phone, because this gives you a sense of kind of some of the issues that came up during the last budget process, because I know you're going to be involved in putting things in place for next year. So it's good that you're listening to this right now. Is there anything you'd like to add to the what we just talked about, or what's on that list that the auditors provided?
Well, yes. I want to make a comment going back to just to clarify some information. But I really am really appreciative that I have heard this discussion today, because it tells me what the feelings are out there and what the Council and Budget Committee people are looking for. And so, when I'm down there, just let me know what you need, and I'll work towards whether we can provide that, and see where we can, if we can't right now. So just let me know. I'm keeping in mind everything I heard today, so I'll keep that in mind when I'm down there getting data together for whoever needs it. I do just want to follow up on the cost center thing, because and you may already know this already, but if not, I'll just put this out there in terms of appropriations. When we're talking about cost centers from the budget standpoint, we're talking about the way that we appropriate the monies to throughout that budget. Now, there are two basic ways that that appropriations are made. They're made at a departmental level, which means that you take a group of departments like the city manager's office, the finance, human resources, city attorney. And while those are considered cost centers in and of themselves, those grouping of cost centers are, those particular cost centers are grouped together into a single department that is referred to as city administration, I believe it is. And then that is a lump sum appropriation for all those different department cost centers that I mentioned. Now then, you'll see a report that shows, a financial report that shows those individual departments broken out separately of how they're spending their money. But the overall appropriation is made to one lump sum city administration. So if there's overruns in any of those departments, you look at the total to make sure you're not exceeding an appropriation. Now, that has to be identified so that you can see that and know that that's happening. The other thing is that I think finance has the obligation to make sure that as you're going along, that none of those interdepartmental cost centers are showing that a deficit. Because there's always a danger that if you don't make the adjustments on an ongoing basis, that you could find yourself an appropriation problem. And that happens from time to time, but it doesn't always, isn't the case. Then the other area that appropriations are made is to the object of expenditure level. Departments like, say, the where you have the room tax fund or the building inspection fund, those are single departments, single cost centers, essentially. So the appropriation is made by personnel services, material services, capital outlay, contingency. So then what you look at when you're looking at a budget, you're making sure when you refer to those particular areas that are appropriated that way, that they're not exceeding their appropriation in spending more for personal services than was budgeted, more for material services than was budgeted, more for capital outlay than was budgeted. Because if you do, then you have to take the necessary resolution action to fix those. And you always hope that you have a sufficient amount in contingency to cover those overruns. And if you don't, then you have to go back the way of a supplemental budget to show where revenue has increased so you can support that appropriation level. So I just wanted to give that as a summary just to let you know that some of the things you have to be aware of.
You know, Bob, that was a very nice summary, and I do know that when David Marshall was here, when he over the period of years that he was finance director, David also did a really good job in trying to, you know, inform the council and the budget committee these different concepts, and he put a lot of documents together that you probably will be able to take a look at when you're here that really went into great detail on that issue, and he really hammered home that issue about don't exceed the appropriations. And but your summary was also really good. So I think it sounds like the way David Marshall was looking at these issues and the way you were looking at these issues are very, very similar. I think the issue really is with the software and everything else, how do we implement it so the budget committee and the council is well informed when they have to make decisions?
Right. There has to be transparency and visibility provided, and I think Newport is capable of doing that.
Anything else on this agenda item, Ted or Linda?
Are we going to set anything for?
Yeah. Well, my next question was. We've got this list. We're going to maybe get some further response from you, Linda, on some of these items. Laura brought up the purchase order issue, and there was some other items that you noted. So as far as what we can do as a committee, my thought is perhaps make sure that this list and when the meeting summary, how long do you think the meeting summary, I don't want to put you on any timeline, but what's the typical time frame to get a maybe meeting summary prepared?
Can you give me a week, 10
sure.
days?
Sure. I'm just thinking once the meeting summary is prepared, we can send the meeting summary and this list to the council and ask them for some feedback. as part of our budget committee, as part of our audit committee process. And Bob will be on board at that point in time. And perhaps with all that input, we can schedule another audit committee meeting maybe sometime in early fall. Now, I know the auditors are going to be back finishing up their field work. Is that when?
That is correct.
September?
Last week in September.
So I'm wondering, do we want to perhaps have a meeting with the auditors here, partially to go through the field work that they're doing, which is what we did anyways last year, and perhaps have this as an agenda item?
Do we want to have two meetings with... get ourselves prepped
for that? We could do one or two. What are folks more interested in doing? One or two meetings? Well, one meeting just focusing on this stuff that we did today, and then the other...
I'd just like to go in with more information before we talk to the auditors.
Yeah. Bob or Linda, you have any ideas as far as what would work best for us and for the auditors on that?
I'll go ahead. I think that would be an appropriate meeting, because the one thing that I want to do when the auditor comes in and have an initial review meeting with him, because there are some areas that I want to address with the auditor and see where they're coming from. The other thing is it's appropriate for this group here to find out from the auditor what their schedule of doing the audit, the time frame that they feel that they can get the job accomplished, because our goal here is to make sure that we meet the a statutory time frame of December 31st on the issuance of the audit, and if we can get it out earlier, it's even better. So I think that's one of the things, to have them tell us where they're coming from and what their schedule is going to be and their ability to produce the audit at a prescribed time. So this end of September is a perfect time for their involvement.
So here's my thought. You know, this is just my thought as far as meetings. I think it would be nice to have one meeting, because if we have this list of items as an agenda item, the auditors will be here to respond to any issues that might come up, and they'll see what our list is, and perhaps they could say maybe there's some other things we're not considering. So not only are we getting staff input, we're also getting the auditor input directly, and then if we go through that list of items, we could then move into the next agenda item, which would be what Bob indicated, which is talking about timelines for getting the audit done this year by December 31st, and then go through the typical stuff which we went through last year, which is, you know, are there any significant deficiencies, any material weaknesses, and those things. It might be a longer audit committee meeting, but I think it would be beneficial to have the auditors here just in case their input would be useful on any of these items that we're going through today.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. So it might be a long meeting, but I think it might be very worthwhile, especially with you here, Bob. You know, as the interim finance director, we just have to maybe schedule a little bit. This was about an hour. I bet the meeting would probably be somewhere about an hour and a half or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, we've had longer meetings than that in other places, so I think we're used to an hour and a half by now.
Well, so sort of more generic question I had. Now, in the past, this audit committee has only met a couple times a year, right?
Yeah. It's only been 2 years. This committee's only been in place for 2.5 years.
Yeah, so I'm thinking it's just kind of a general guideline to keep in mind the idea of meeting at least quarterly.
That's what we're planning on doing.
So that we keep a process going of cooking these things along.
Yeah, I mean, we've already met, we will have met three times. Did we meet in early January? No, we met in April. So this we're meeting three times this year, perhaps another meeting at the end of the year when the audit is completed, and that's when they usually go through the audit with us. And I think one thing we have to talk about, and Bob, this is something that the auditors mentioned, is in the past, as you probably know, either the auditors, especially when the auditor was here locally based, we used to have a local auditor, or the city manager would go through the audit, or the finance director. The auditors are suggesting that a more appropriate mechanism is the audit committee presents the audit to the council, with the finance director obviously there to assist, but it's more the council engaged rather than staff doing it for the council members. What's your thought on that? Only because the auditors brought that up as something that they recommended as part of our oversight process.
Yeah, I think that that's appropriate if a separate group that is there to do it as the auditor has recommended. I know when the way I handled the issue at Troutdale throughout the period I spent there is that I made sure arrangements were made with the auditor to come in and make the presentation to the city council. So based upon the auditor's recommendation of the audit committee doing that makes sense, because what we're talking about is independence to some extent. And if the finance director was or city manager was making the presentation, there's not that sense of independence there. And there's always the potential then of that you're not getting the full disclosure. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen. I'm just saying the potential is there that you would not get full disclosure. And that's important that in every respect that there are issues that the city council should know about and make sure corrections are made. One of the things that puzzles me in the process is when an audit report makes reference to appropriations that are overspent, and it's just sort of ignored. I've never taken the position that overspending an appropriation is something that should be ignored. And I don't know if this still exists, but back in the days that I worked full-time, the Oregon Department of Revenue used to take that serious, and they used to send letters out to the city council via the mayor asking the question essentially is, what was the governing body going to be doing? What action were they going to be taking about exceeding appropriations? So that is an issue that the audit committee could actually be addressing on an ongoing basis. Is, okay, are we making sure that we're not exceeding our appropriations, and if we are, what actions are we taking to correct those overruns?
Thanks, Bob. That's really helpful. So on the quarterly basis, I'm just referring to what Mark said. I'm thinking we will have a quarterly meetings this year, so perhaps one thing we could recommend as a audit committee to the council is, in setting a timeline for the future, is there will probably be an initial meeting in April to go through the initial field work with the auditors like we did this past April. There will probably be a check-in like we're doing today to go through a list of questions and benchmarks with city staff. Then there would be a meeting in September when the auditors are back to meet with them, go through these questions, go through the final field work process they're going through. Mm-hmm. And then the final meeting would be to, as an audit committee, go through the final audit product with the auditors, so when the audit committee presents to the council, they'll be able to, you know, inform the council based on the information they've gotten from the auditors and staff. So those are four meetings, and that really, I think, covers the quarterly basis and really kind of covers the variety of issues we're trying to deal with.
What's great about that, too, is presuming that you fly through all those and make all those corrections, then you're in a really strong position for starting the budget process.
Yeah.
The next fiscal year.
Now, the December 31st deadline for the audit, do we meet in December or in January with the auditors?
They'll have their audit completed before December.
They should have their audit completed before
I'm gone for 2 weeks in December, so I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be part of
it. We'll work that out.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to say
we'll work that out. But I think...
What?
We have an alternate level.
Yeah. But what I'm thinking is what we could, and as a council, sometimes we only meet once in December, but what we could do is we can go through the final audit with the auditors in December, and that first meeting in January, we make the presentation to the council. Now, they'll probably already have the audit report as a council distributed to them, but we can go through it with them as a presentation in January. when vacation, when everyone's back from vacation, and we're not running into those issues. So, yeah. Bob, is there anything you'd like to add to that? You know, we're talking about the process for the future, and I know that's something that you're well informed on. Anything you'd like to add to that at this point?
No, except that the timing of the December meeting is going to be based upon receiving that audit report.
Yeah.
So it's important to, at the September meeting, to get that issue clear with the auditor.
Okay, yeah,
hey,
good
really
idea.
You really don't want them delivering it on December 24th.
Yeah, that's right. Or December 31st.
December 31st.
Yeah. That could, yeah. We'll have to make that clear. No delivering on vacation days.
Yeah, and the expectation is that we're going to be ready for the auditor. And so that's one of the things when I come in, is that we're going to be pushing towards that process.
All right. Well, so I guess we'll just work with the auditors, Linda, in scheduling the meeting for September, and you can send out an email to all of us as to when that's probably going to work for them.
It's the last week in September.
It will. Okay, well, I don't have my calendar,
and,
so.
And I don't have my calendar with me either.
I don't think there's.
This is in December?
No, September.
Yeah. Would be good to mail out a.
Why don't you
exactly.
Just maybe mail out some days and we can respond as to what days work for us. But yeah, last week in September looks like when it's going to
23rd through the 27th.
We'll get that taken care of.
23rd through the 26th.
Okay.
We'll
get that finalized. Okay. All right. It's 11:15. I think anything else folks like to add before we conclude the meeting?
This is just as an overall comment on accountability. From a budget standpoint, and this will go back to Ted. In your employee performance appraisal system, I'm assuming you have annual performance appraisals. Is there a budget element of meeting for those department heads that they have met their appropriations?
Do you want the politically correct answer or the real answer? The problem that I have anyway, and I think I've shared it with David, I've been here 4.5 years and I think I've only been evaluated once. Yeah. I think. I haven't been evaluated. So, you know, I mean, I know I'm doing a good job. This asked me. But
so I would say, you know, probably
no,
not. This
the
is
answer
probably
to
not,
that only is no.
No. Only I would say we really want to get to the topic of evaluations at this meeting. No. That's a separate issue. So
I think the point I was trying to make is that the results of the audit, is it reflected somehow with actual division heads? Or
you know, if I were city manager, I'd be checking that every year.
Well, that's one thing I keep track of. You know, I'm only talking about my department. I keep track of all the dimes and nickels that are going out and coming in. So, you know, in 30 years, I've never run a budget over budget.
I'll just say, that issue will probably be addressed and further discussed as we're going through the city manager selection process. So I would just kind of leave it at that right now.
Well, I was going to say, it's safe to say that we are in the process of trying to standardize annual reviews at all levels. So they do happen more frequently, so they are consistent with some departments. Yeah. But we're just at the steps of that.
Yeah. But that's an issue that we're trying to address more clearly, so that's a good point to bring up at least at this point.
Yeah, you know, if I might throw in two cents here. The issue that was brought up is something that has always bugged me, is that the Finance Committee is always the one that is under review. The auditor looks at the finance department on how they're keeping their records and maintaining the appropriation expenditure categories. So there's so much accountability related to the financial issue. And yet the finance people are always the ones that are monitoring department heads and making sure department heads are living within their budgets. and they never get the same type of review that the finance department gets.
I hear you.
So the question that came up that was posed, that is something that's consistent with what I thought for years.
And I welcome that. I mean, I think I'm a good manager, and that's one of the parts of managing is knowing where your dollars and cents are, and are you keeping track of it, and are you spending it well? You know, yeah. I mean, I would love people to look at me with a microscope, because that's important. You know, am I spending my money? It's not my money. It's the city's money, and am I spending it well and appropriately and wisely?
Well, and if you're catching one department, they're having, staying in their appropriation, but they're having a wildly difficult time keeping their individual things on track.
That's not good either.
No, that's a prime indication of we need some intervention here.
Something that I see, you have somebody like Ted who's very careful about not going over his budget, and then you have other department heads who are not concerned about their budget, and because they know that finance will go through and make the appropriations adjustments at the end of the year.
So, Oli, the response to your question is the city is definitely working on this issue.
And I'm going to be in the same situation with the port.
We're working on it, and you can see we're taking an active interest in it. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought it up.
That's something we need to put into our questions for the new city manager.
We can talk about that for a second after we adjourn. We're doing that. Remember, we have that sort of connection process going on.
Well, it looks like we've finished everything on the agenda. Bob, thanks for calling in.
I appreciate you letting me be involved in this process.
Well, I'm glad you were able to do so, and we'll see you on August 5th.
Yeah.
And in fact, you'll be calling in for the Infrastructure Task Force meeting tomorrow. And I'll be there as well. Mark will be there.
I'll be there as well. This is Councilor Sales. I'm looking forward to meeting you, Bob.
Okay, great. Same here.
Okay, Bob, thanks a lot. And we're adjourned.
Okay. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay.
Bye.
Before you wanted to say something?
Off the record. Okay, look, we're adjourned then. Linda, you want to stop that?
Just in the